Thank you for joining me today. This past weekend, I was allowed to speak on current events in Israel at my local church where I attend on a regular basis. I'd like to share part of that message with you today because it talks about how Israel withstood 350 weapon attacks with rockets, drones, and missiles, and how they cautiously responded in such a way that I think showed tremendous restraint and in the long run is going to help eliminate terrorism, not just for them, but even for people in America. Join me for this, and I think you'll see how important it is to know that we're living in the last days, and the events that are taking place in the Middle East are exactly what the Bible said would be in the last days. There's so many things that are converging at one time. There's a verse in Amos chapter 3, and it's, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And it was about a shepherd. Amos was a shepherd, and he said, you don't meet on the hills of Judea without making a prior arrangement, because there's too much space, and so you would have to make an agreement. Let's meet at this particular time, at this particular place. And that's what it's talking about, is the convergence of things. Today, I'm sure that some of the facts that I'm going to tell you, you've heard me talk about before. Sometimes I'm going to flash through them very quickly. But my concern is the convergence of things. You know what I mean by convergence? It's a math term. Okay? Thank you for being honest. It means this, that this thing comes into play, and this one comes into play, and this one, and there's a whole bunch of things, and they all converge to one spot. And so when we come to the Bible talks about the time of the end. And what I think we're seeing is we're seeing the convergence of so many things together. And if the Lord's coming is not soon, some of these things will pass by. And how they'll circle around to converge all to a point again, who knows? But if it's true that they're converging, coming to a single point, then I think it really is important for us to look at this. And to be honest, I don't know when my last message will be. I know I'm not to the 100 mark yet, but God doesn't give everyone 100. And if this would be my last message, this is the one that I'd want to deliver to you. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And I've had Mark update, I think we've changed 5 or 6 slides and videos just because I want it to be as up to date as I can be. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Quite a passage, isn't it? They should have known, and they didn't know. The idea of the days of Noah is this, that Noah, for 120 years, talked about the judgment of God coming. You know, the flood story is a story of judgment. God finally got enough of sin, he couldn't take it any longer. And so he gave, what am I doing wrong? Nope, I don't. I'm what? Oh, no. No. I'm not sure what I'm doing to... Okay. Can you imagine... Where's the switch? Okay. right? We'll try that. So unmute, that's how I sound the best. Okay, now, how about that? All right, we'll give that a try. I think in the days of Noah, for 120 years, they watched a foolish old man build a boat. I think at first it was a joke. And then I think the neighborhood got paranoid. How many of you have been to the Ark in Kentucky to see the size of it? Yeah, okay, that, wow. The other day I suggested to my wife we go as a chapel, we go there for a field trip. Wow, I got scorched on that deal. But she can stay home, follow us on the GPS, and we'll go. But you need to see it. I mean, this thing is huge. Take this auditorium and go about 10 auditoriums long. Make it about 3 or 4 times higher, and make it about 3 or 4 times wider. That's the Ark. He built it in the middle of a place where there's not a lake or an ocean within 500 miles to sail that boat. 120 years. I know his sons suggested, you know, Dad, you really ought to get a hobby. I mean, you know, he said, I do. I build a boat. He said, no. I mean, we're talking about goofing, golfing, maybe even something like curling. And that's as exciting as watching dandelions grow. But for 120 years, this fanatic preached judgment. And the truth is, he spoke about it so much that people said, you know what, I'm going to dismiss it. Until one day the boat was done. And one day black clouds began to come over the boat. And one day animals began to come from all over, a collection of animals like you've never seen, and all get into the boat. And one day God shuts the door, and one day it begins to rain. And in the Bible, this is a tribulation passage, but he relates it to the time frame that we're in. And it says, and knew not until the flood came and took them away. And knew not. They should have known. Something that took place should have given them a hint. You know what? The warning is important. And the warning was so important to him that he continued to preach it for 120 years. That's a long time to preach. And I think he was considered a fool until the day the judgment came. And then I think everybody said, wow, Noah, I'm on your side. He compares it to this time frame. And here's my burden. We should have known. I don't think people are taking serious what is going on in the world. Because you see, sometimes we only follow one strain or two strains, but the truth is, judgment is coming. And there's something about that judgment, they didn't have a chance to go back and redo it. Because I can promise you this, if they would have opened that door after it started to rain and the rain was up to about your waist, every single person would have come in. And I can assure you this, that when Jesus comes and we're gone, if you had a chance to go in the rapture, you'd say, I'm 100% with you. This week I talked to three people that were believers. One was excited about the Lord's coming. Two said, I think it's so much controversy on the doctrine, I don't want to get into the controversy. And I said, well, you know I gotta make a decision sooner or later, but I thought, wow. When Jesus comes, you won't be neutral on the subject. So let's take a look at some of the things that are going on that make it so you should know. Okay, and so we talked so much about October the 7th. I'm just going to show you an item or two because, wow, it was incredible. We saw that the timing was amazing. It was on a major holiday for the Jews. And 1,000 people were massacred. And almost within a half a day of when that occurred, people were already turning against the Jewish people. I didn't put in here, but I have a clip. I'd like to show you a video of the Gaza Beach. This week, there were thousands of people on the Gaza Beach playing volleyball, kicking a soccer ball, having a barbecue, and swimming. And yet, most of us think that things are so bad in Gaza that, 700 trucks went in with humanitarian aid, all from Israel. The press doesn't report it, do they? And so we've seen that hideous massacre of October the 7th. And, And what was amazing was that the nations lined up almost exactly as they do in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, I don't think we're at the Ezekiel 38 and 39 moment yet. Here's why. Because when that final invasion occurs, Israel is going to be at peace. They're going to set their weapons down, and Israel hasn't set their weapons down. Have you noticed that? Well, Iran has, if you haven't. And so this is going to come. I really think that before that takes place, I think those of us who are believers are going to be gone. That's called the blessed hope. Okay. Now, what we had just this past Thursday was the inverse of that. After Israel was told, don't retaliate, don't do all the warnings, guess what? Iran should have been listening. Iran shot missiles directly at Israel. They fired them out of other countries as well. But the incredible thing, with all the firepower going on, 350 missiles, bombs, drones. 350. 99% were intercepted. Can you imagine having someone hate you bad enough that they fired 350 missiles, bombs, or rockets? What would happen if someone just fired 50 at us? Or 10? Or 5? I mean, it's ridiculous. And they had something called the Israel's Iron Dome. Look at the thing that's highlighted. They say this is greater than the Six-Day War. Here's why. If you read the fine print of this one and the next article I'm going to show you, it says that normally the United States developed the Iron Dome. We have it so that it's about 85% effective. Sometimes we get 90, but about 85% of the time. They worked it to 99%. Now, of the 350 rockets, bombs, and drones that came, almost half of them blew up right on the launch pad. Here's what it says. Iran doesn't know how to run their own weapons because they get them from Russia, they get them from China, and they don't get the best quality. But then 99%, they call it, look, the leading rabbis and scientists are calling the defense against the Iran attack a miracle. They said it's equal to the parting of the Red Sea. No one ever gets 99% efficiency. They did. Three rockets hit. They did. They wounded some people. A little girl, I think, passed away. Others were injured. And so one rocket's enough. Can you imagine if one rocket hit right here? It wouldn't matter. It's only one. But 350 were shot. So when Israel responded to the massacre in Gaza, and then they began to fire back, everyone, even the United Nations, said, don't cease fire, negotiate. Now, they stop firing. Iran launches 350 missiles. Too bad Mr. Biden didn't say to them, don't retaliate. It's fair. It's exactly what the Bible says. Bear with me for just a minute. Unless you think these are small, there's one in the Dead Sea. It's about 4 or 5 feet tall. It's about 30 feet long. These are not tinker toys. Can you imagine having those launched at you? And when the launch is all said and done, the United Nations quickly said, don't retaliate. Why not? The United States, I'll show you what the president said in just a moment. So inside of Parliament, when they began the war, Parliament had a special session. Here's what they were saying. Watch when they announced. death to Israel, death to Israel, death to Israel. They called a special session to celebrate that they had sent the first missile. It's the first time Iran has ever gone directly at Israel. I'm telling you this because they're becoming emboldened. Now, in our country, this is in Dearborn, Michigan.
We've been asked in the past, why are our protests on the International Day of Quds, why are they so anti-America? Why don't we just focus more on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities that we just heard about. And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
Death to America.
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth." And so when these fools ask us if Israel has the right to exist, the chant "Death to Israel" has become the most logical chant shouted across the world today.
Had enough of him. He's free to leave. I'd like to take up a collection for a one-way ticket. If he doesn't like it here, then go somewhere else. Because go in any other country and try to make that kind of a protest and speak against America. My friend, that man doesn't deserve to live here. But it's spreading. And so this is a New York subway. Listen to them. I feel sorry for the lady that sits next to him, but he's free to leave. Really, I wish he would go. You know, sooner or later, we've got to tell him, you're not welcome here. We do have freedom of speech, and I have the freedom to say, then leave the country. If Iran makes you proud, if Hamas makes you proud, if Yemen makes you proud because you're firing missiles, then kindly leave. This is ridiculous. We have fathers and grandfathers, uncles, our own children who fought for the freedom of this country. We paid dearly for it. We recognize your freedom to say something, but we also recognize the freedom to invite you to leave. Because what you're doing is called murder. If you're so anti-American, why would you want to live here? Let me show you New York again. Here's a protest from this weekend.
Hamas.
Wow. That's a good one.
You're what? You're Hamas?
Yes, we're all Hamas, eh?
I'm not Hamas.
No, we're Hamas.
Guess what? That's part of our southern border. We have thousands of Hamas in here right now. If you think the chants are going to get less or lower, you're sadly mistaken. We've watched the October 7th massacre. We watched Israel take him out. And so Israel, with their intelligence, they knew that there were five terrorists in a building right next to the Iranian embassy in Syria. They took him out. You know what I say? Thank you, Israel. I don't know if they're plotting for an attack on Israel or America. Either way, I'm glad to have them gone. Let me ask you this. If you had a chance to do in Hitler before he did his atrocity, would you have done it? Well, I would have. And so five terrorists plotting mischief. And so Israel says, you know what? We're going to take them out. And they did. And so Iran says, okay, if you're going to do that, then we're going to fire against you. And they fire 350 missiles, drones, and rockets. And now we have people that are on our streets. Long live Hamas. We are Hamas. Hamas is trying to destroy America, trying to destroy Israel, trying to destroy the world. And we're afraid to say, you know what? You're wrong. You're out of order. Here's Russia. This is unbelievable. Russia defense minister announced in a letter to the United States that if Israel launches a retaliatory strike against Iran, 350 missiles later, Russia said, if you launch one missile against them, we're going to come against you. Wow. I had a man who was texting me, and he was kind of talking about the Ezekiel 38, and he says, I don't know that the stage is set yet, but he said, if I see Russia coming against, I could hardly wait to send him this little blurb. Russia says, you send one, we're coming after you. China said, you know what? If Russia goes, we're going. Oh, and Turkey said, hey, all of it's Netanyahu's fault. Wow, you know what? I went back and I checked the Bible. All those nations are mentioned coming against Israel. We're out of here before they do. My friend, the lineup of nations is like nothing you've ever imagined in your life. Things are converging to a point. And guess what? I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I'm out of here before all that devastation takes place. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're waiting for. Now, you can wait until the rain comes. You can wait until the water gets up to your waist. You can wait until it gets up to your neck. But I'm getting in the ark right now. Can you believe that this is taking place right now? We're living this. And isn't it amazing that in Ezekiel 38, the Bible says that Saudi Arabia actually sides with Israel. 350 missiles. Jordan said, hey, we're going with you. Saudi Arabia said, we're going with you. I've never seen it lined up like this. Let me tell you this. If the prophet Ezekiel was here, he could deliver a message. Huh. So how does America respond? Now remember that America's destroyed. Sometime between now and the Battle of Armageddon, America's going to be destroyed. And it's sad. I wish I didn't have to say that. But as I look at the events that are taking place that I hope to show you in the next few minutes, maybe God has had enough. And so here is Mr. Biden. And here's what we now know. He approved the attack of Iran against Israel. That's disgusting. Iran is our enemy. Iran hates us. Why would you ever be neutral to give your blessing for that? Matter of fact, he even said this. He said, well, because 350 rockets came and 99% were intercepted or blew up on the launch pad, consider that a win. Nothing of value was hit. How would you feel if your family was among those that got scrap metal blown into them? How would you feel if your child was in the hospital hanging on to life and may have passed away by now? Nothing of value? Wait a minute. I got to tell you, I'm embarrassed and I feel disgusted that would be our response. Turn the tables. Can you imagine if Israel would have hit them with 350 shots? Can you imagine what the world would be saying? Now, as you know, there was, he said, take it as a win. Obviously, he doesn't know what a win is, but before we go to that, let me just back up for a moment. So Israel, I think it's Israel. They haven't acknowledged it. So what did they fire back on 350? Three shots. Three. One destroyed an Iranian airbase. Iran is mad. They said it's inoperable. Okay? Next, they blew up another area right next to the nuclear reactor, and they say that we have no defense for it, and now they're saying, we don't even know if our reactor works. And then the response was, you weren't supposed to have a nuclear. I said, well, we're in the process of putting together peacetime use of, yeah. All three hit. What's incredible is that there's a huge land mass between Israel and Iran. You know why Iran felt so comfortable? Because on the way there, they would have shot down any plane. They would have tried to destroy or stop any missile or drone. And Israel was 3 for 3, or whoever did it. If I was Israel, I'd take credit for it. But Israel is just saying, you know, what happens, happens. Now, I don't know about you, but here's what I'm going to say. I think we're poised for war. We're poised for war. And that war doesn't have to start until we're gone. But I'm already packed. Yeah, I don't know what you left at home that you're going to need in heaven, but I got everything I need. We're going to stop our message there. We'll continue it next week. Next week, what I want to show is the convergence, not only the situation in the Middle East in terms of the conflict with the terrorists all around Israel, Iran, Russia joining in, but I want to show you an update of what's taking place with the treasures of Solomon and the search for those treasures in Qumran. I want to show you the latest on the red heifer sacrifices, the fact that Israel is getting ready to embrace the Passover and sacrifices that try to encourage the Messiah, they say, to come, to set up a kingdom. All that with the background of war. You see, everything is converging, but it's converging exactly as the Bible said. Even in Revelation chapter 12, it talks about how that Satan, the devil, will want to persecute the woman that gave birth to the Messiah. Wow, that's the hatred that we're watching take place across our campuses. My friend, the Bible's up to date. And so again, I ask you, are you ready? Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? Are you at a place where God can instruct you and inform you? Because the Bible is such an encouragement, such a comfort. Find yourself a good local church where the Bible is being preached. But most of all, find yourself a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, He died on the cross for my sins, for your sins. Receive Him today as your personal Savior. God bless you. We'll see you next week as we continue the message.